I was really encouraged by the mayor last night, and he was a character, wasn't he? He's a character. And I was all set to do a joke this morning because I've learned in Asia don't do jokes. I've learned in Africa don't do jokes, but I think in New Zealand I might get away with a joke, huh? And I was deliberating last night about this morning, and then he got away with it. I thought, I'll try and get away with it. But in actual fact, he quite encouraged me with a couple of things he said. I was really impressed with the guy, actually, all joking aside. And I said to Graham, you know, I would love to talk to that guy about doing a mayor's prayer breakfast if he was in Oz, because I think he's the sort of guy that would be interested in doing that. But my dad, I'm from the country, and I want to just open up a bit of a light note. But I'm from the country, as you heard, and my mum and dad still live on up in the bush, we call it in Oz. And my dad rings me every Sunday, right? And we have a bit of a chat. And my first comment normally is, Dad, how's it doing? My dad is 83. He's a retired farmer. He retired, partly retired at about 70, and only gave up a couple of years ago. And he loves the land. So I always ring him up, and I've got to ask him the normal questions, you know, when you're talking to a farmer in Oz. I don't know about here. I say to him, Dad, had any rain up there? Have the sheep grown this week? How are the cows doing? How are the neighbours doing? And I said, what else? What's new in the town? Because the town where they live is around about 30 people max. That's when everybody's there, not on holidays. And the next biggest town's around about 200 max. And that's about, you know, for another 30 miles away. So I said, Dad, what's been happening up there? He says, oh, son, he said, oh, yeah, it's been a bit of excitement in the town. He said, we've got some new people in the town. And I said, oh, wow. He said, yeah, because, you know, when there's new people, it's excitement. And, oh, yeah, he said, this new salesman, you know, new businessman moved over from Adelaide with his family. And he said, yeah, real pretty sharp sort of fellow, they tell me. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting. And he said, yeah, so he said, you know what, they do these, and they call us city people in Australia, townies. Yeah, you know what these townies are like when they get in the country. The first thing they want to do is drive around and introduce themselves and say hi and all that sort of stuff. So this city slicker was driving around, and he came across a farmer driving the sheep, as you guys would probably do down the road. They do that in Oz, you know, the main roads. They even, you know, shift them on the main roads. And he had to stop because the sheep were all over the road. And he's waiting and he's waiting and he's waiting. And, wow, a lot of sheep here. And he thought, hey, I might have a bit of fun with this farmer because, you know, I'm a smart city slicker. You know, and I'm just showing him how clever I am. So he walked up to the farmer and he said, hey, excuse me, sir. And the farmer said, yes. He said, if I can guess how many sheep you've got here, will you give me one of them? The farmer looked at this guy and said, city slicker. No idea. He said, sure. See the guy. 325. The farmer looked at him, shocked. Because it was 325. How did that guy know that? But he thought, you know, farmer, word's your bond. He said, sir, I don't know how you did it, but you can have one. So the farmer's waiting, and he's waiting, and he finally worked because this guy was struggling to get this animal into the car. And he walked over to this guy and he said, excuse me, sir. He said, if I can guess what your business is, what profession you are, will you give it back to me? And the city slicker looked at this farmer and thought, no, 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 he's not smart, this guy. I'll get him again now, right? He said, sure. He said, you're a printer, aren't you? And the guy looked at him. He said, you know that? He said, put the bloody sheepdog back. Sorry, Grant. You've got to be careful what you pick on farmers. That's an Aussie joke. Sorry about their language, guys, but we're men. And that's what a farmer would say. Probably a bit more than that, actually. Am I right? I did that because you encouraged me what you said. It's your fault. I'm not, oh, that was on tape. Oh, I'm in trouble there. My wife will see that. She'll say to me, she didn't say that this morning. If I told her I was going to tell that joke, she'd say, don't tell the sheepdog joke. But look, I want to talk a little bit about total different to where you were sharing before, Don. I want to talk about marketplace ministry, but I just want to reiterate what you were saying. Because, look, I got to be honest, you know, we're blokes, aren't we? But I remember when my brother died. And, you know, this is the first time I shared this publicly. I tell you that now. I only do this stuff when God tells me to do it, because somebody here needs to hear it. A few of you need to hear it. And, you know, I'd been traveling the world, and I'd seen God do so many miraculous things and amazing things. And I see myself, even as I shared this morning, how God totally healed me and restored me. I've just seen so many things. My brother was diagnosed with cancer. He'd never been sick a day in his life. At 51, he's diagnosed with cancer. Sorry, 50. Melanoma, because as kids we used to run out all day, 3 months of the year, no shirt, just a pair of shorts, just get burnt to a crisp. Didn't know anything about melanomas in those days. And he had a melanoma, didn't get it treated, started off the size of that. Time it grew to that, he decided to do something about it. When it started growing out, well, then it was too late. Doctor said you got 18 months max. We prayed and believed by faith he'd be healed. Laid hands on him, did everything. Got sicker and sicker. Remember the day I went to the hospital? I get emotional, that's okay, because it's good to get emotional. And I remember going to the hospital when he went into a coma. Even at that point, I was believing God would restore him and resurrect him. Because by that stage, it had to be resurrection. As we know, terminal stage 4. I walked into the hospital. I laid hands on him with my good dear friend of mine that had traveled the world and seen so many amazing miracles like me. And we walked out there totally convinced that he would be resurrected. The anointing in the hospital bed was like the anointing in this room. It was just a powerful anointing in that room. And we walked out of the room. I can still remember it so clearly. I went to walk to the car and God said, not this time. I said, no, God, this is not God, this is the devil. Devil, get behind me. Satan, get behind me. My brother's going to be resurrected. We'd planned for years. He'd only come to the Lord some 18 months before. We were going to travel the world. We were going to minister together. We loved it. We were so close. The Lord said, not this time, Rob. It's not going to happen. I rang my wife on the mobile phone, told her. I was so calm at that point. Told her what had happened. And she said, you better come home. Can you drive? I said, yeah, I can drive. Drove home. I had to ring my parents that lived 400 miles away. Right or wrongly, we had kept the bad news from them for so long. They knew he was in and out of hospital. They knew the situation, but we didn't really tell them. And you can judge me if you would, but we made that decision as a family not to tell them the bad news. It was always the good report. My mother couldn't even walk at that point. They had to get in the car and drive all night, basically come down to the hospital. That night, the Lord tells me what time he will die. I don't want to accept it. I say, God, I don't want to hear this stuff. You know where my heart is. He died exactly when the Lord told him he would die. I know he's with the Lord today, but I tell you what, at that time it doesn't make it any easier. Amen, let's get real. Anyhow, after the funeral, I struggled. I knew I was going into a pit of despair. I didn't want to admit it, but I knew I was. I was booked to do a crusade in New Guinea. I was due to go into Bougainville. And I tell you now, in Bougainville, you can't get into Bougainville. It was a miracle that we even got in there in the first place. And we were booked to go into Bougainville. And I had emailed him and said, I'm not coming. I cannot minister. I cannot get up and talk about the love of God right now. I cannot preach the gospel right now. They emailed me back and said, Rod, you have to come. We have so much depending upon you. In actual fact, one of the reasons you have to be here, since we've actually asked you to come to this meeting, right? All these series of meetings, the head of the island has died. Very wealthy, famous man. He has died, and the family have specifically asked for you to speak to his family. I don't even know this man. I don't even know the family. Why are they asking me? What am I going to tell, you know, Papuans? Their culture is they cry and weep for 48 hours. And then they run umpteen dozen church services for every member in a different denomination. Every denomination they have a church service. And they want me to come and counsel the family. What am I going to tell them? I said, I'm not coming. Thank God for wives. She said, you have to go. Not just for their sake, for your sake, because she could see me going down that pit. Amar said, I'm coming. I got there. They met me. I want to tell you, I wasn't well either at that point. I had a migraine for days. The enemy didn't want me to speak. They postponed my meeting for a whole day. And then finally, I ended up speaking I think it was around about 120 of these of this family. Most of them are non-believers. And this was the man that died was only he was my brother. He was 50 years of age. Had a sudden heart attack and died. And you know, I've got to tell you something. Sometimes, you know, people have a misconception about when you're ministering that, you know, that we guys have got it all together and this and that and whatever. But I want to tell you, 30 seconds before I got up to speak, I didn't even know what I was going to talk about. I had no idea. And then the Lord, one of my favorite scriptures, favorite place in the Bible, eagles. You come to my office in Australia, I have eagles everywhere, pictures everywhere. You know, I have a potter friend of mine made a huge big eagle. They're all in my offices everywhere. That's the one. I love the eagle. And we know the scripture in Isaiah, where it talks about mounting up like wings like eagles. And the Lord sends me that scripture. All it is, one scripture. And this came to me, brother, when you were sharing this last night. Again, it came back to me, flashed back to me. This is why I'm sharing it. I've forgotten all about it until just only 10 minutes before I got up to share. And I got up and I spoke this scripture. I said, friends, you need to know something. And I don't remember totally what I said, but all I know is that I think I was even where that eagle was up there. But I told them that, you know, we look at it from down here. When something happens, we look at it from an earthly perspective. If we look at it from a godly perspective, if we look at it from an eagle's perspective, we're way up in the sky, and we see it from God's perspective up there. And then I talked about God's perspective. And I sat down after 20 minutes, which was the 20 minutes I had to speak. I didn't have a clue. I have to be honest. They told me about this after what I said. I hadn't got a clue what I said. I was totally in the Spirit of God, or with the Spirit of God. And I sat down and I said to my pastor friend, was that okay, Pastor? He said, it was fine. And just patted him on the leg. I want to tell you, we saw some most incredible miracles on that trip. Because when those people were ministered to, but I tell you what, God just instantly took that despair from me, took me out of that pit, and I tell you, I was so fired up, I could have run through a brick wall. And then we got in and minister. Actually, I've got to go with this. I don't mind I get on the marketplace ministry just right now, Graham. Sorry. That's going to happen the next couple of days, believe me. But, you know, but you know what happened is that trip. I end up sleep on this harp. And this guy, I went to this meeting, FGB, we set up FGB, that's one of the things we did, God uses me a lot on that, we set up an FGB chapter while we were there. So we're ministering to all these businessmen. So I'll do a bit of marketplace ministries. We just got this group of businessmen together and we started talking about FGB and you know who we are and what we do. They said, man, let's run with it, let's do it. Let's get the chapter going here. How do we get a chapter going, they said. See, we struggle sometimes for years to get a chapter going and yet these guys, I just shared 2 minutes, they said, let's do it. And they did, they set a chapter. So at that chapter meeting that we did the next day, because you can do that in those places, right? One day just put a meeting on, no problem. And all the top gurus turn up on the island. And what happens, this army guy turns up and he comes up to me and he says, Brother Rod, would you like to talk to my boys? And I'm one of those guys that I suffer from foot and mouth disease, as you can see already. I said, sure, no problems. Where's the boys? You know, and I'm thinking he's talking about, you know, young blokes in the army, you know. And he said, oh, they're that compound over there. I go, oh, okay. So I wander back to my hut where I'm sleeping on the floor because that's the only accommodation they had for me. And it's stinking up there too. And anyhow, and I said to my mate, who are the boys? He said, Rod, I hate to tell you, but it's actually the SPLA. Huh? Sorry, Bougainville Resistance Army. I said, hang on, aren't they the bad guys? See, I'm Aussie, sorry, I don't know anything about BRA and all that stuff. But I knew very quickly then, it all flashed before me, these were the guys that were fighting the government in the revolution. And these were the really bad guys in a sense. I mean, they're nice guys normally. But they had committed a lot of, well, better be careful, but they had committed a lot of atrocities against their own people even, you know, and against the army. And I said, well, I have to go there. And I remember the next morning, you said about being real, this was your fault, I'm doing this, right? Put the notes away. But you know what happened? The next morning, I get up, and I put my suit on, you know, and the Lord says to me, where are you going like that? I said, I'm going to talk to the boys. He said, not like dressed like that, mate, you know. I said, okay, how do I go? Go and put your, I don't wear shorts. If you saw my legs, you'd understand why. So I put my jeans on, I put my thongs on and a t-shirt, all right? And I go to pick up my Bible. The Lord says, what are you doing now? I think you must get a bit annoyed with me, you know, sometimes. I says, hey, but I'm a preacher. I've got to take the Bible. She says, not over there, mate, you're not. Okay. So I wander over there, and I go there, and I walk into this big compound, and here all these young fellas are, about 30, 40 of them. And they're sitting at those little old desks we used to have when we were at school. You're not old enough to remember this probably, but those little wooden desks, you know, those little dinky chairs. And here are these big Papuan guys sitting on these chairs, you know. And they're sitting there like this. And they've got the army stuff on and all this sort of thing. And I'm thinking, gee, that I don't think I'm too popular here. And, of course, my friend's telling me on the way over there, he says, now, listen, I'll just give you a hint. Huh? Don't tell them how bad they are. They already know that. That's why they're there. Because we're rehabilitating them, right? But part of the deal of the rehabilitation was that they had to get religious instruction once a week. Huh? That's part of the deal. And they retrained them as security people. They'd be good security people. They know how to use guns and all that, let me tell you. Right? No problem. Because the last time I was there, before that, by the way, you talk about the spirit of fear. It's confession time, honestly. I was on tape. But I tell you, I was there when they were going through the thing, burning places and shooting people, whatever, mate. I would tell you, I was petrified. Yeah. This man of God, I'm telling you, I had my door locked, mate, and I'm praying in tongues. Oh, sure, boy, was I praying in tongues that they weren't going to find me there. Because those guys don't mess around. Huh? No matter what color you are, that's it, you're cannon fodder, huh? When they're on that sort of rampage. Now, so anyhow, I wander into this compound. They're all sitting there looking at me, and I'm thinking, God, like I said this morning, what am I doing here? The Lord said, well, you open your big mouth, now you're here. So I said, well, what do I say? And this is the crux, gentlemen, again. Tell your story. Just tell them why you're here, how you're here. And I got up, and they said, you've got 20 minutes. Like Graham said, I had 30, but you know, but I had 20 there. And he said, you've got 20 minutes, go for it, the pastor says to me. I got up, and I'll be honest with you. I don't really remember what I said. I was just trusting totally on God. And about 20 minutes in, I sort of like, I wasn't with her, I was in the spirit. I hear these noises happening, and I'm going, sobbing, just like, who's crying? And I looked over because lined up on the wall, and I hadn't even noticed before, that compound were all the cooks were the ladies that were looking after these guys. And these girls are crying and weeping, and I'm thinking, why are they crying? I'm not even talking to them. And I look around in front of me, and all of a sudden, one starts, and they all start. They're crying and weeping. And I realize, and I'm a bit thick, you see, but then I realize the Holy Ghost has hit them. And then I start talking about, you know, getting your life right and, you know, coming to Jesus and, you know, be like me. And that's all I really said. And then I said to these young men, and I'll tell you, they were tough. When I say young men, they're only 14 or 15. But I'm telling you, these were hardened soldiers. They had committed the most horrific crimes. I found out later, man, you don't want to know about what these guys did. Right? And I found a lot of them had religious backgrounds and whatever, you know, but they were fighting for an army that believed they were just totally exploited by the whites and, the oil companies and the government then. And I won't go into the whole history. I found some stuff I didn't want to know about it after as well about, you know, who was financing them, who was financing the other side. You know, with all those things, it's horrible. But at the end of the day, I called these guys up. And I was thinking, and I have to remember, a while ago now, probably 12 or 15 of these young fellas come up. Kneeling at my feet, saying, pray for me, Pastor. I tell you something, guys, that humbles you. I'm just a kid from the bush. You know, and they're kneeling there, right, wanting to give their life to Christ. And then we prayed for these young kids and they gave their life to Christ. And then I said, guys, you heard what happened to me about my back, how I was healed and I had one leg shorter than the other. And I said, I want to tell you, God can heal you the same. This one's here, got the same problem. And I said, I just want to show you what I'm talking about. And I called a young guy out, and I said, sit in the chair, mate. And he sat in the chair, or so the interpreter told him, and I just stood there, and God just grew his foot out just like that. And these guys, they just came out and drove there. Said, hey, Pastor, pray for us. arms and legs and this, because they've been chopped up and, you know, all this sort of stuff on the army, you know. And God just did stuff. We're there for about 3 or 4 hours. And I didn't realize it was 3 or 4 hours. And I walked out and I apologized to the pastor and he said, don't worry about it, Rod, it's fine. And I walked back to the compound. I remember walking back to that Nissen hut. I said, what happened there, God? What happened? He said, you just did a story, mate. That's all you have to do is tell a story. And that night I saw the army. I found out he was a sergeant or a major or something like that. And I said to him, how are the boys? And this was his word. The boys are wonderful. I said, oh, that's nice. And I said, why are they wonderful? And they said, wow, because they're happy. And, you know, Pastor Rod, that, you know what they say about you? I said, no. They said, surely he's a man of God because he talked about God and he showed us the love of God.
Awesome.
How simple is that?
Yeah, hello.
Huh? And guys, I'm going to keep it short today because, sorry, mate, I'm not going to get on the marketplace in a minute. I just don't feel to go that way tomorrow, right? Because I don't want to break the anointing. I've learned you've got to go with the anointing, right? But the whole thing is, man, it's that simple, really, right? And, you know, I was just thinking as we were hearing the praise and the worship, you know, I love that. Oh, where are those guys at the back? Man, I love you guys, right? Yeah, so sensitive to the Holy Spirit and just Holy Ghost stuff, you know, anointed of God. But I tell you something, the presence of God is in this place, isn't it? I mean, if you can't sense the presence of God in this place, you've got a problem, eh? We better pray for you. Right? But let me say this to you. The anointing's in this place. The anointing's on each one of us. The Holy Ghost lives within us, is what you're saying, Don. And I may be preaching a little bit, guys, but you need to hear this stuff, right? But you know what we need to understand? See, it's great to come to a convention and get all wrapped up in the Holy Ghost and praise the Lord and hallelujah and get into the praise and worship and man this and that and whatever. But you know what? What the challenge is for each one of us, including me, and I'm going to talk a little bit about marketplace now, to take that into the marketplace. Don was so great what he said about with Jesus. Yeah, he went down the wharf and he did the fish. But you know what I believe? I believe they were swearing and everything else. But you know what I believe? I reckon as soon as they sensed the presence of God, you know, and the anointing, they would have stopped swearing just like that. I've had it myself. I've walked on the building sites, Don. I've gone into mechanics workshops. Their guys are swearing and carrying on whatever. And you're walking. You don't even say a word. You just walk in and they just stop. And go, oh, sorry, Rod. Hey, don't be sorry. You don't have to apologize to me. Oh, yeah, but we know you're a Christian. I haven't said anything. And we know we've offended you. Can you please ask us? Is that okay? No problem, mate. So you're right. He went to those places. And we need to go to those places. But they sense the presence of God. And if we are walking in the anointing, if we are talking, see, I'm like Don here. I'm sorry, I'm sick of the talk. Talk, talk, talk. You know, talk is easy. Talk is cheap. Do we walk it? And if we live the life and it's full gospel wisdom, you know, one of the things that what attracted me to this fellowship, many things, but in the early days, I want to say this, and I say this for the National Board, is that we had men, and we still have them, but I don't think in the extent of what we back in those days, that I loved and respected, but they carried an aura of the Holy Ghost with them and a presence of God. And you know, the first FGB meeting I went to, I had no idea who these men were. And they said, Rod, would we like you to pray for, you know, we'd want to pray for you, because I was taking a truck to Melbourne. And I went in the centre of that group, and they prayed over me, and I sensed this awesome. I didn't even know what it was. I'd only been born again a couple of days, going to a mainline church. And they were speaking in tongues as well, which is even spooky for me at that point. But I knew it was God. And each one of us, we need to take the presence out from this place. And what do we do with it? And then when we share it one with another out there, and then we bring that presence of God into our meetings. And I will challenge you with this. If we walk in this presence of the Holy Spirit, if we walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, I'm preaching a bit, guys, but I really feel to share this right now. Right? I tell you what's going to happen. Those people will come to a meeting with the peace of God upon their life, even though they're not even converted at that point of time. Right? I believe they'll come in, right? And they'll receive Christ. Because, yes, we have a responsibility as leaders. I'm talking to the engine room of the FGB New Zealand here now. Yeah. I know some guys can't be here, but you guys are the engine room. Right, you are the leadership. You are the guys that are going to lead by example. And frankly, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? You can't take somebody where you've never been. If you think that, you're kidding yourself. That's why I say that talk is cheap. Well, so I want to really encourage us, including myself. The challenge to me is, yes, I've come here. I've been so blessed in this to be here. But the challenge to me when I go back to my office is to walk in, usher in the presence of God into my office. And you know what? I tell you, it's there. Anybody that's been to my office in South Australia will tell you, they walk into my office and they sense a difference. And that's what I want. Not for the Christian, for the non-believer. So they know before I even open my mouth what's actually going on in that place. And each one of us, I'm going to talk about the marketplace tomorrow. Don't make no mistake about that. That's a passion of mine. I believe, you know, to see this nation won for Jesus, we've got to take the marketplace. And I believe we're going to do that. I'm prophesying we're going to do it. I say we because I saw Aussies are part of you, Kiwis and vice versa. All right? I know there's a bit of rivalry between the sports and all that stuff, but us Aussies, we like a bit of rivalry anyhow, right? We love it. You know, it's just, we're sparring partners from way back. I knew you would raise that. I knew somebody would say that, right? Delete that from that video. Well, and I tell you something, though. Honestly, there is a kindred spirit. I've sensed it since I've been here. I knew it before I came. But I've sensed it and had it confirmed to me since I've been here. Not just, I mean, here and the leadership or whatever. But I said, Graham, there is between us. Huh? And you know, we are joined other brothers in arms. And I believe totally that we are going to take the marketplace. Totally take the marketplace. And today, what I want to do, because what I want to finish early. Hey, it's 3:45. It's going to be finished early. Because it's been a long day and we've got tonight. And I want to, obviously, you know, we want to be refreshed and refreshed and open hearts to hear what Don's going to share tonight, right? But what I felt to do today is I want to pray for some people. And I've asked my brothers here for some oil. You see, if we're going to take the market, because it's not about what I say anyhow. It's the Holy Ghost. You know, we need to get a breakthrough. You see, some good things are happening through the fellowship here and in Oz and Malaysia and all the places I go. There's great things happening all around the world, right? But I want to tell you something. If we don't take this presence into the marketplace, if we don't have the freedom, if we don't understand what God has called us to do, and I want to really, each one of us, tonight, men, look, I'm talking to some blokes here, okay, as we say in Oz. Tonight, please, I want you to examine your heart. Do this, please, just do some homework for me tonight in your prayer time, in your devotion time, right? And come tomorrow to receive, right? And tonight as well, of course, but Marketplace Ministry, for those of you in business, I want to tell you, I'm going to prophesy and speak into being right now, breakthrough in every business, in every place where you are employed, there will be breakthrough. I'm going to pray that there are going to be promotions. I'm going to pray right now that you are going to just see things happen. Oh, I sense the anointing of the Holy Ghost on me as I'm sharing this, guys. This is. I'm not just talking words here. You know, we're going to see a total breakthrough in the marketplace. Because, see, I look here. Let me share something with you. And then I'm going to pray. We're going to see where the Lord goes with the prayer. But I want to just share this just in closing on this note. Wes, thank you, Lord, because I was going to share it earlier on and it wasn't the right time. I hope I have it here in my notes somewhere. It's in that other folder there. Very important. Mr. One, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And let's just start preparing our hearts, guys. You've been around long enough to do that. Thank you, Lord. This is what I believe. The anointing upon each one of you is very significant. Very significant. You have, each one of us is different, but we all are anointed of God, but we have our own anointing to do what God has called us to do. And there is a new higher threshold of spiritual conflict coming. You better believe it. It ain't just going to happen. We're right up against it. And I believe with all my heart that we're going to see total revival, let me tell you that. But I tell you what, it's not going to be easy going. If you think that for a minute, have a look at any book, read any book, on any spiritual breakthrough in any nation, anywhere in the world. It only comes When a nation repents before God, that's the start of it. We won't go on that one today, but you know what I'm saying. I believe totally God has called FGB for such a time as this. I think it's our time, man. I think, you know, for 25 years I've heard it all. You guys are finished. You're gone, mate. Why don't you just close up shop and just go home? I've heard it all. Huh? From ministry as well, by the way. I'm not talking about non-ministry. I'm talking about pastors. Have told me that. You guys are finished. You know what I tell them? We haven't started yet.
Hey, come on.
It's true.
Brilliant.
It's true. We talk about the happiest people on earth. You read that book. I read it every year. Every year. I read The Vision Intensified a dozen times a year. And I tell you, you read that stuff and you get it into your blood, you get it into your spirit, you get it into your system, and I tell you, you realize we haven't started yet. Am I right?
You're right.
He knows it. Well, see, we've got to understand these things. This one I love. Don't you love this? I believe our generation will be given greater power. I'm getting excited now. I love this stuff. You see, I've always been a power man. I love the power, the Holy Ghost power. Nothing. Without it, we can do nothing. Without the anointing, we can do nothing. And if we do something, it's going to die anyhow because it's in the flesh.
Right.
Isn't it true, Don?
So true.
But I believe our generation, us, we have been given the power to what? To change the world. See, I got a revelation of this stuff some years ago, and it wasn't until I started traveling, men, when I started going into nations, we saw doors opening through to kings and presidents, and I'm not bragging about it, I'm just giving God all the glory here. I can tell you story after story where doors have just been supernaturally open that no man could open. Why? Because of the timing, yes, right people, right place, right time, but also when you get through the door, you've got to have the power to do what needs to be done.
Yeah, that's good.
I can't do anything. I learned that a long time ago too. None of us can do it. I made a comment. Anointing of the Holy Spirit is the power of God to enable us to fulfill our calling. Let me repeat it. Anointing of the Holy Spirit is the power of God to enable us to fulfill our calling. One of the saddest things to me is to see Christians that don't fulfill their calling. Never fulfill their destiny.
Yeah.
You ask them, what has God called you? They go, I don't have a clue. Ask them what their gifts are. I don't know. I think I have the gift of encouragement. I said, you better read the book again because that ain't one of them. I don't use those terms. Yeah. It's good that we encourage people. But these are sometimes Christians and been walking the walk for 20, 30 years and they don't know what they're called to do. Someone wind him up, is it? No. I've got to wind up. But I mean, guys, we've got to know our calling. If you don't know what you're called to do, I challenge you this. Ask God and he'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
It is so simple. You don't need a word of prophecy.
Right on.
I mean, it's great to have a word of prophecy, but you shouldn't know. You don't need to know that stuff. The prophecy will confirm that anyhow.
Right.
It'll just confirm it. Thank you. All right. This man here, I prophesied over him this morning. Well, he's had a lot of prophecy probably this last couple of days, right? But you know, I was hoping you'd come up and share what you shared with me about when you were down on the floor and what God was showing you stuff. I tell you, see, this is what it's about. Because that stuff in the natural, probably you would say, couldn't happen. But it's going to happen. Everything God showed you, isn't it going to happen? And it's his power, not your power. It's his anointing that's upon your life. And it's upon your calling. Man, we need to discover, I mentioned this the other day, and I haven't got time to even go here today. We need to discover who we are in Jesus Christ. I tell you, that is so powerful just in itself. We've got a bit of noise happening here. So what I'm going to pray, because it's now 4:05. Let's all stand, men. I'm going to pray. Let's just see where God goes with this stuff.